CliffCentral.com.
Hero of the Stupid.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we're live. It's Wednesday. It's the 20th of May. Look, I got Gord Laws here. I got Sia Sangweni. I got Mbulelo Tinta. I got you. I got everything I need.
What more
may any kind of help?
Sorry, Sia, what are you trying to say?
What more do you actually need?
I don't need much more. This is me. This is me happy. I'm in a happy place. You know, you make your own happiness. That's what the gurus tell us, right?
It's 2 minutes past six in the morning, hour of our Lord.
Yes.
2020.
That's right.
Amen. May the 20th.
That's right.
5 days until payday.
For those people
not get paid yourself.
Yeah, for those people who are getting paid. I mean, Jesus.
It's still nighttime.
God, we just need to excuse you for the first 20 minutes of every show.
I'm trying a new experiment today. Today, I just decided to stay up and go through.
Really?
So I'm at the end of a very long day, whereas normally when I do this, I'm at the start of a very long day.
Wait, what do you mean?
He stayed up all night?
I go into this when I'm doing more at-home self-employed work in general, but especially over lockdown more so, I kind of just find that my time gets later and my starting time gets later until eventually about once a week, usually on a Wednesday, I sort of have to reset the whole thing. And so I just decided, like, instead of going to bed at 2:30 this morning, I would just stick it out.
Well, and see how it goes. You're gonna fade very quickly. Something's going to happen to you in probably the next 2 hours, and you're just going to crash badly because that's what happens
to me. That's all I need. I don't really need much after that. I've got work to do, but I'll do it much later.
Okay, well, you are basically nocturnal, but you may also be a crepuscular person, and you may also be a somnambulist. Are you a somnambulist?
I am going to go with yes, because that sounds like some sleep-related shit.
Sleepwalking. You don't do that.
Oh, no, shit. No, I don't. I talk a bunch of shit in my sleep, though.
Okay. So, yeah,
What's crepuscular?
Crepuscular means you are up at the dawn and the dusk. That's when, like, little mice and things, and some semi-nocturnal animals run around and they gather up like seeds and roots. And it's when a lot of the predators are starting to fade.
Because you've got diurnal for shit that operates in the day. No. You've got nocturnal for shit that operates at night. And you need a word for shit that does what the fuck it wants, like me.
Crepuscular. Yeah.
Yeah, this oak is crepuscular.
Anyway, you like that word, Sia. You can use it to describe yourself. If you're especially alert at dawn and dusk, then you're crepuscular.
Yeah, I'm not a night owl. I'm not a morning person. I'm just I'll do whatever I need to do person.
Guys, can I quickly bring up something I'm really excited about? Because there's not much to be excited about in this lockdown, and it's really
taking, there's so little. I don't even want to get my hopes up that this is medium interesting.
I know. I mean, it's taking a massive toll on everybody. It is medium because it has to do with media. It has to do with our business. So, in other words, it's as a medium, it's neither rare nor well done. Here's the deal. Joe Rogan made a deal with Spotify last night, which they say must be worth.
I saw that.
Oh my God, it's worth a fortune, right? And the reason I'm excited about this is because I've been banging this podcast drum for 6 years. CliffCentral.com turned six on the 1st of May. Joe Rogan's been at it a lot longer than that. And Spotify is only, how old is it, Mbulelo? You know this. You looked it up yesterday.
What's that? 14 years old. 2006 they started.
Right. Okay.
It feels like it was even less than that. Now, I don't remember Spotify in 2006.
Now, Spotify's share price went up. Listen to this. Spotify went from $29 billion to $33 billion in one day just from signing Joe Rogan.
Mm.
Now, I keep telling a lot of people in corporate South Africa, and I know we're a smaller market, and I know that we're a little bit behind the curve here. But I keep telling people, listen, you've got to get into podcasts because the audiences are in podcasts. I've said a million times, I don't need to blow smoke up my own audience's ass. If you're listening to us this morning live or you're going to listen to the podcast later on today, You know, I can't thank you enough because you are the reason I knew this was a good bet. And what Joe Rogan is doing at the advancing edge of this in America is he's proving that those audiences are more valuable than any audiences that have existed before. Here's a little thing I want to read to you. This is from Market Watch. This is about 20 minutes ago, okay? And this is why I woke up with a smile this morning, because I'm thinking, Christ, in all of this bad news, where everybody's failing and everything's falling apart and people are losing their jobs, and by no means does any of that go away because of this. It just means maybe we've got a chance of surviving in this business. No single personality has the reach and influence of Joe Rogan. His show regularly tops the charts of the most popular podcasts each week, and he reportedly made $30 million on the medium last year. That's what he made off of his podcast show last year. Now, we're nowhere near that, I can promise you. We got a small staff of, what, 10 people? You know, a lot of our stuff is based on producing branded content for organizations, and that's the only way we've survived, because the advertising and marketing world do not take podcasting seriously. And everyone can do a podcast, right? Anyone can. You could buy a microphone, and you can record yourself at home, and you can maybe get a guest on Skype or on Google Hangouts or on Zoom, and you can do this. And we've been trying to do it professionally for 6 years, and we've grown an amazing audience. And what Joe has done is he's done that over a much longer period. And I'll be 100% honest with you. I didn't know a whole lot about Joe Rogan when we started doing what we were doing, but I was aware of him. And he was not a big deal 6 years ago. He was starting to grow.
Yeah, you know, I just only knew him as the Fear Factor guy.
Yeah, right. And there's something going on here.
Yeah, I got to know him because of UFC.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's a huge deal in that world as well. And this is where I just wish sometimes you could... I wish I could just drag some of the people forward and say to them, listen, guys, this is inevitable.
I am inevitable.
But you need to catch on. You need to spend a lot of time in the trenches trying to persuade people that what you're doing is good. And while I like the fact that everybody's doing a podcast now, and everybody really is. I mean, I saw like someone the other day on, I wish I could remember who it was, but they're also doing interviews in a podcast. And that's great. You know, there's some people who are good at this. There's some people who are not so good at it, but you got to have critical mass. And this is what we're building to. And although we are not as big as even a scintilla of what Joe Rogan is doing, in this market, we're the same. And I really think, like, the battle is we're slowly winning. You know?
Well, I mean, I just know as a small sample of people that I know and behaviors and media consumption patterns just among my social circles is that podcasting is very much a thing last year or two, far more than in the years before that. Like now, almost everyone I know listens to some form of podcast, whereas 3-4 years ago, it was like a fringe thing. People kind of knew, the same way you said you knew of Joe Rogan, but you didn't actually listen to him. Yeah. People kind of knew of podcasts, but didn't consume them themselves.
So I'm, if we can survive the next 6 months in this business, I think we're off to green pastures. But it's surviving that 6 months that's going to be difficult.
And it's that critical mass you talk about. Like, people have just got to start doing it. Yeah. If you want to, there's a great musician that I love called Devin Townsend. And he says, if you show up, what you keep showing up long enough, you'll get a place at the table.
Yeah. I mean, we've doubled our audience over lockdown.
No, that makes sense.
Last 6 to 7 weeks, our audience has doubled the number of downloads, which means the podcast audience, and the number of live streams, which is about a third of the total.
It shocks me that so many people are up at this ungodly time. But the downloads, the overall listen, I mean, it makes sense to me in terms of the overall numbers.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised that I would be interested to know what your first hour streaming numbers are like compared to non-lockdown time, because I think a lot of people listening to stuff at this time is because they're schlepping kids around, they're driving.
Yeah, it could be, but also some people have a routine and they don't want to break that routine.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, if you start your day, and this is one of the reasons that I wake up when I do, and why we didn't move the shows because we didn't want to mess with people's routines. And selfishly, because I like to get the day started before everyone else. I know that the people who are listening to us at 6, they want to figure out the world before the rest of the world figures it out.
They should be sleeping.
Well, absolutely, but I don't know.
That's a great
Gord, you're making waking up at 6 a.m. sound like it's part of a cult.
No, waking up at like 5 to get to the station at 6, that's culty shit. Living room 6 is reasonable. No, but I'm actually very interested to know that I'm not surprised at all that the numbers are up, because it makes sense. People need both information and entertainment, and here you get those things. But the fact that the downloading is up and that the live streams are up is interesting to me.
So Spotify have done this deal with him, with Joe Rogan, worth more than $100 million. And it means that his full library, dating back 11 years, he's only been doing this 11 years, is to hit the service September the 1st and become exclusive to them before the end of the year.
He's in the 1400s on podcasts, and he's up around 100, I think, or above 100, even with those MMA shows that he does.
Yeah.
So Gareth,
I can't wrap my head around a figure like that.
The Podfather, a guy called Adam Curry.
Yes.
So when you've got time, everything you've spoken about now, he was speaking about, I think, about 2003. I remember picking his stuff up, and his stuff lately, where he reflects upon, I mean, what Steve Jobs used his first podcast in one of his presentations of the very first iPods. Adam Curry, really interesting guy. Who said what you're saying almost 15 years ago. So you're echoing a real pioneer's words in everything you're saying. It's time to get with it.
Yeah.
Adam Curry.
I wish you could wake up the ad agencies. I tried to do this 6 years ago. And Gord, this is a bugbear of yours as well, because they just don't, they're not creative and they don't think. And they're also, there are a lot of people who are in the advertising business who've been there so long that they've calcified and they only know what they know. And it's just easier to keep doing what you've always done than to innovate, because if you innovate, you take the chance that maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But if you keep doing what you're doing, maybe you can just do that until they fire you.
Yeah.
And that's how most people think.
You become interwoven, you know. Yeah, sorry, interwoven into the bureaucracy, and then you become difficult to fire even though you don't do anything.
What were you saying, Sia?
That it's the whole stick with the devil you know thing, rather the devil you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, the only reason I bring this up is because it's exciting for me, and I think it should be exciting for anyone who listens to us, because we are the vanguard in this country of what's going on in the world of podcasting. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir, but let's consider this our Wednesday church service then, and let's get our day started with some positive news.
Amen.
At a time where there's not a huge amount of it.
We need that uplifting shit, guys. We need that. We need them milestones. Keep chalking them up.
Yeah.
I want to know about people's week anniversaries, their monthly anniversaries.
Right.
I want to know. Yeah, I want to know that.
Are you conquering any goals at the moment, Gord?
I am. I'm working on my little projects, but I must say, like the last 2 weeks or so, I've just been...
The kids' book and everything?
Yeah, and a couple of other things. But work's been incredibly quiet, my usual stuff. I have a few bits and pieces of things coming in. When they come in extremely urgent, but that's normal for me.
Yeah.
I wish more of that would happen, actually. But I'm just, I don't know, man. I don't even know if it's, I think it's a little bit of everything. I don't know if it's just the isolation or the routine. It's just people are just shitty at this time. And I wouldn't call it like a social media fast, because I have been on there, but I've been on social media so, so little the last week and a half. I'm getting that, misanthropic streak that I was battling with at the end of last year back. So I'm trying to just not, it's not like I'm in a bad place or I'm like hiding out or I'm like in a terrible funk depression. I'm just kind of like over it. I'm over chatting shit with people who don't know what they're talking about anymore. The social engagements you get involved with that are kind of just polite pleasantries. Then there's, but I am still speaking to a lot of people, just avoiding Instagram and Facebook. And on the one hand, it makes you feel like you're in an even sort of gloomier, more isolated situation. But on the other hand, like you don't have totally mindless bullshit distracting you all the time from everything.
Yeah, it's sort of the same for me whenever there's a controversy that I didn't anticipate. And it's usually just around me saying what I think. which is so bizarre. I do not understand. I genuinely, at the deepest level, do not understand how Gareth Cliff saying something that he thinks receives this enormous amount of attention and opprobrium, and it always does. And I really don't. I do not get it at all. And yet, there are people who are on national radio and television, and are using old media, and are in paid jobs, and they say things every day that are probably far more inflammatory, and nobody cares. I don't understand it. I will never understand it. And it's something that drives me crazy. But I suppose it means in some way I'm more relevant than they are. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's it. This is why I don't have the logins for our listenership numbers, because I honestly don't know how to tell you. The only way I know we've got more or less listeners, the only way I know how many people are downloading our podcasts, is when Rena, who's my business partner, tells me. I've never had the logins. I can't see that information.
Because
It would drive me absolutely crazy, like social media drives you. And that's why I don't have Twitter on my phone anymore, for the same reason. I would become a disaster of a human being. I would be I'd be angry, and then I'd be happy, and then it would be this bizarre like wavelength which would go up and down, and you'd never find any stability.
It was a conversation about Twitter that actually started me thinking about this. That and just a bunch of people being a bunch of dicks consistently for like days on end. Yeah. But I actually don't think that, I think like I was looking forward to doing the show this morning because I missed it last week, but also because like I need like an update from 2 weeks of not engaging in almost any news. I have a feeling like if anything, if there was like a nuclear war to break out, or the shifting of the Earth's excuse me, I'm trying not to cough, shifting of the Earth's magnetic poles, someone would have let me know.
But Gord, I'm actually more curious about what you can tell us about what's going on in your head, besides the work that you're doing on the projects that you mentioned already, because it's quite good to do a detox from news. And I can't always do that because of the show. I mean, what are you thinking about on a daily basis? Have you gone into the world of sci-fi and fantasy, or are you, I
will admit that I've watched the whole of Netflix. Like, there's nothing good left to watch. I'm on season 3 of Gotham. And if anybody knows what a load of ongoing bullshit Gotham is, you would appreciate that is like deep. That's like when you've watched the whole internet and some parts you've watched twice, and now you just want to watch something else. Gotham is like, it's like, let's take a soap opera and set it badly in Batman, but there's no Batman. it's like all the campiest and most over the top detective shit from Batman set in like the 40s or something, and it's just like terrible overacting, but it's the best. It's such horse shit, but it's the best. I wanted to ask you guys about that. Like, what are your massive guilty pleasures in terms of shit you've been into or are into, musically, television, movies, that you know was just absolute shit, but you bought the whole hook, line, and sinker? Because that was me with Gotham. I'm getting a little over it now because there's 22 episodes a season and there's 4 seasons. No, and I'm like halfway through season 3. It's starting to get tired like True Blood did. But I'm going to finish it. I'm going to fucking finish Gotham so that I can tell
Why
people.
Why do you want to finish it?
Because I got really into it for the first half a season. And then it was like, just became so mechanical. You can watch it without thinking, or you can even do other things while you watch it. That now it's just like, I want to say that I accomplished it. Like, I didn't give a fuck at the end of Game of Thrones either, but I just wanted to say I watched the whole thing.
See, I only ask because I am so for dropping something as soon as you aren't into it. I've dropped so many books. I've dropped so many series because I'm like, why force yourself into this thing and then you don't find the characters interesting, even if everyone else is talking about it? You know, I've said it and I stand by it. I couldn't even make it through the first episode of the first season of Game of Thrones. As soon as I saw some guy on a horse running into a forest and then there was some white ghost-like figures. I'm like, are we in medieval times? Are we in Harry Potter?
I was like, this is not me.
I was done. I dropped
it. But I'm saying I do enjoy Gotham. That's the thing. I know it's complete bullshit, but I do like it. Like, I don't force myself through stuff that I know I don't like. It's very hard if you don't have me by halfway through the first episode to get me to stick through it. Like, what's the bloody brilliant thing with I'm drawing a complete blank now. The gang in old England.
Peaky Blinders?
Peaky Blinders. That was one where I couldn't get into it. Like, I tried and I tried, and only on, like, the third try. The same with The Expanse, which Gareth tried and didn't like. You've got to, like, get past a certain point in it, and then you kind of stuck. Then you have to know what happens. But I find that it's a series can lose me in 20 minutes, and I never go back. Same with the book. Yeah. If I don't get past three chapters in the first sitting, I'll probably never go
That's commitment.
First sitting. But if I read like one chapter and then don't read for a week, I'll start again. So if I haven't like got momentum quickly, I never go back and reread something that I read the first four chapters of 2 months ago.
I want to read a couple of these messages before we get to headlines this morning. McGill saying, there's something spiritual about being up when the day breaks. I know this goes counter to your narrative, Gord. I'll start my run after the first hour of the show, download the second hour, and listen to it tonight before bed. That's interesting. So you break it in half. Wow. Okay. Different habits, huh? You're going to make this shit work for you. I am so pissed, says McGill, about the government and this ban on cigarettes and alcohol. I had to pay 600 rand for a case of Amstel Lager last night. And my cigarettes
technically have to, but I know exactly what he means. And
yeah,
I feel
and he says his cigarettes cost him 950 rand a carton. This shit is not working, man.
At this stage, if you even know where to get that good shit.
That's amazing.
I managed to like organize a contraband stash of cigarettes for some friends that were badly in need. Yeah. Pulled this like, I've done like some sketchy shit, right? You must know. Like I sugarcoated on this show. Sugarcoated a bit less. Like my own podcast is basically just becoming like, reasons to never consider Gord for president of your organization is what it should be called. I mean, it's just confessions of like, I never expected it to get to out of hand, and it already has, and worse is to come. But like, suffice it to say, like I've been up to some shit, and not a lot has felt as clandestine or fucking badass as doing a cigarette smuggling run. I felt like Han Solo doing the Kessel Run in 9 Parsecs. I was like, I managed to get cigarettes from a person who helped me out with it and then distribute
to different
friends. By the way, see,
that is a Star Wars reference.
I also didn't know what happened there.
The Han Solo.
Can we just go back and record? I don't think we got a perfect soundbite of Umbi going, I don't know anything about what's happening there. If we could just go back and dig that out, go. You, please find it and save it in your special effects thing.
Oh, I just want to play this quickly from Graham. He sent us a voice note, and there's so many messages, Gord, that I want to read to you about you.
It's easy that it gets at a problem. It's because you're white, you're Aryan, you're successful and self-made, and they hate that.
Oi, there's Graham saying it's because I'm a white Aryan that I get the attention that I get. How scary is that?
When not like, I
could only sort of hear him.
Thanks for that, Adolf Hitler.
white Aryan, as opposed to what?
No, I'm kidding. No.
No, well, see that point that you made earlier. I'd actually disagree slightly.
What's that?
I'd disagree slightly to the point that you made earlier. I don't think it's just because of who you are. I think you say what you say as opposed to other people don't say what they say. Everyone else, and it's no slight to people, I'm not being shady, but a lot of people are just very vanilla.
Oh, yes, most people are completely boring.
No, they're not. They're just...
I don't know how we got... There was an Aryan... I turned away for a few seconds, and I'm very confused.
It was in Graham's voice note. He was basically saying it's because I'm a white Aryan, which is... I mean, I haven't used that term.
What's because he's a white Aryan?
Yeah, I am. I think people genuinely believe things. They just don't say them publicly.
Well, you also have to take you in the South African context is that we are, and people refuse to admit this, one of the most sort of reserved nations.
You mean conservative?
So America, conservative is an understatement.
Yeah.
You know, you have Texas and you have San Francisco.
Yeah.
So you have Hollywood where people on the West Coast can express themselves like you can, and it seemed that's a part of the deal. In South Africa, nobody does that. I mean, you saw Jane Dutton even express half an opinion.
She got shut down.
So, yeah.
All right, I want to read these messages because they're about record in the show and all kinds of things. Do you guys ever listen back to the podcast episodes?
You know that he just, I just have to say that he said conservative is an understatement, and trying to find a wisecrack to match with that for the last like 90 seconds has been killing me. So I apologize, guys. It's late for me.
It's all right.
I've missed out on an opportunity.
It's because you haven't slept, Gord. We'll give you this.
There was a fantastic moment there where conservative is an understatement, was begging
to be might have turned into something. Duncan says, do you guys ever listen back to the podcast? I know that coronavirus is dominating our lives at the moment, but you guys are starting to sound like the audio version of Twitter. Oh, Jesus. We must look out for that.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Duncan. All right, we'll listen back. Jesus. Cool. There's an animated HBO show called Animals. Gareth and Gord will love it. They give city animals in New York human personalities and scenarios. James.
Yeah, that's just right. I think if it's the one that I'm thinking of, it's like they just show these, they just animate animal life over voiceover acting. I don't know if it's the thing I'm thinking of. It's very funny. But, you know, that dude, Duncan, I think his name was, is right, man. Like, this is another part of the reason why I'm like, on the one hand, this is everybody's day-to-day life. So if you're in the business of talking about day-to-day life, it has to come up. You would be either being very disingenuous or doing an amazingly good job of concentrating if you were to somehow get through a regular podcast that involves news without going into lots of COVID. Mm. But at the same time, like, we talk about it as if it's a yoke around our neck, and like, we even have long conversations about how it's the only thing anyone talks about. That's why I like found that social media was becoming a bit of a dead end, because I want to get on there and jump down everyone's throat because all they talk about is COVID and all of their attitudes are bullshit. Meanwhile, that's me wanting to like fight with everybody about COVID. So you get stuck in a feedback loop that just sucks a bit. But at the same time, like, Duncan, dude, how is anyone meant to have a daily morning news orientated anything that doesn't talk about it every day? I guess this is life, right?
Here's a message from Fatima, who says she's usually doing her mascara when the show starts in the morning, so she's busy early.
She's been at it.
Gord, you must have watched The Boys from Valiant Comics, have you? That's from Woody.
Super dope. Super, super good. That's a brilliant TV show.
Can we talk about, and this is from Adam, can we talk about Gord's music playlist on iTunes? The Bootfighter playlists are unreal. You rock, Gord. Chin up, China. How do you like that? Hey, everybody. Hello, everybody. Are we all back?
Hello. You're back.
Okay, cool. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. The internet decided to just kill itself right in front of my eyes.
We love message.
You what?
Yeah, you were saying that Adam had a comment.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, I was getting...
Well,
the only reason I know that the thing went down is because I was reading Adam's comment, and then suddenly everything was dead. So Dave says, listen to the first part of the show live, and then I go to work and re-listen to part one during the day, listen to part two after work and before bed. Okay. Yeah, Adam was saying your playlist is amazing. He was listening to your Bootfighter playlists, and he says, you rock, Gord. Chin up, China. How do you like that, Gord?
Ah, thanks. It's pretty good. iTunes, we've put up two Bootfighter playlists. I don't know if he means chin up as a derogatory comment, or we'll just give him the benefit of the doubt. On iTunes, there's two Bootfighter playlists, The Jaw and The Raw. Very inspiring, squeaky, tacky dance music. And the other one is very inspiring 80s montage fight music.
Okay, all right. And then someone else here saying, this is from Hugo, he says, you sounded so alone there, Gareth. That was weird. Yeah, well, the internet just hollowed itself out under me and I fell. That's basically what it was. Anyway, we're back. We're normal. Hopefully everything's back to normal. You guys, are you hearing me all right? I'm always worried that, like, I'm talking into a void.
And I will let you know.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got headlines. You want to get to some of those?
Two of my favorite things.
Really?
Gord. Gord. Gareth, please.
Jesus, it took me a minute.
Gord is also equally proud that he finally cracked some sort of pun.
Thank God.
I live and breathe this shit.
This is why we have him on. And then when we don't get a pun or some kind of wisecrack from him, it's like, oh, Jesus, the show went by without one. All right, the Gauteng Department of Health has observed an increase in the number of TB and HIV patients.
I measure my life in goals scored.
So as I was saying, the Gauteng Department of Health has observed an increase in the number of TB and HIV patients defaulting on medication since the lockdown was implemented. This has exacerbated the loss to follow-up rate of TB and HIV patients, which has remained a challenge nationally since the beginning of health programs, owing to a number of factors. High mobility, incorrect and unreliable addresses. So basically 1,090 patients have failed to collect their TB medication, and 10,950 failed to collect their antiretroviral medicines. You know what this means? This means, hello? You guys still there?
Immune system?
Well,
illness is on the horizon?
Yeah, and this means we're so focused on this COVID problem that we're not going to deal with all the other problems that people have. Very often the people who have, in inverted commas, comorbidities, which makes them much more susceptible and vulnerable to COVID. So the irony of us focusing the entire health department in Gauteng on COVID is that 10,000, almost 11,000 people have not collected their antiretrovirals for HIV, which means that's going to pop back up and make them susceptible to COVID. And almost 1,100 patients haven't collected their TB medication. So that's another area, because TB, of course, the lungs. This is very, very bad news. Meanwhile, the department says Charlotte Maxeke Hospital remained one of the province's busiest COVID treating facilities. Although I don't know what that means, because according to all the doctors that are posting anything online, and there are a few who are doing this, the hospitals are all empty. So who the hell knows what's going on over there? In finance news, this is from Fin24, mining production has slowed, and there are worse figures to come. Mining production had already started slowing down ahead of the nationwide lockdown. That's from Stats SA. Production for February increased 7% year on year. The largest positive contributor to production was coal, followed by platinum group metals and gold. But the industry produced 1% less than in January. So mining production is starting to slow down quite a lot, down 2.7% for the last 3 months. And there's almost no mining activity once the lockdown kicked off. So that means that obviously after that, it's just at zero. And mineral sales, however, increased 18% year on year. So the price is going up and the amount of trade in minerals is going up. But we're not producing any of it because we're not mining. So that's a disaster. The BBC are reporting this morning in other business news that the World Bank is warning of 60 million people in the world at risk of extreme poverty. Now, remember that we, in the last 20 years, have seen more people come out of extreme poverty, according to the United Nations, than ever in human history. In other words, we are living at a time where poverty was reducing at the largest rate ever measured. More people were living in less poverty. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah, sure.
All of that has changed because now the World Bank is saying global economic growth is going to shrink by at least 5% this year as nations deal with the pandemic. It's already led to millions losing their jobs and businesses failing, with poorer countries feeling the brunt. Millions of livelihoods have been destroyed and healthcare systems are under strain worldwide. The estimate is that up to 60 million people will be pushed into extreme poverty. That erases all the progress made in poverty alleviation in the past 3 years. Not good news, right?
Mm-mm. Suboptimal.
Totally suboptimal. That's a good word. And then in other...
We've got to find these pipes for the people.
God is working.
It's important. I mean, Sia diminishes and gaslights me about, you know, the importance of the work that I do. But with depressing shit like that, left and right, actually got to go for every punt. I don't count life in missed goals. I count it in goals and shots not taken, Sia.
Oh, God. Profound.
So, right. Yeah. A teenage boy was charged in Canada's first incel terror case. You know what an incel is?
It's one of those awful things that if you press the wrong button on your keyboard while you're doing Excel, you're suddenly in the wrong square and now you can't get back. But when you do get back to the square you wanted, now you're typing strange glyphs and not real numbers and words. And you have to phone a friend after you frisbee your computer against the wall. And then the IT guy always is a bit smug with you, even though he ties his shoes too tightly, he comes and fixes it for you and makes out like it was really easy when it wasn't.
No.
No.
Okay. But that's what's an insult?
It's a really involved bad bet.
Insults are it's like when you abuse people online and you
involuntary celibate.
Yes, correct. An involuntary celibate describes males mostly in online groups who blame women for their sexual frustrations.
Is that an individual? An incel is a person who can't get laid, wants to but can't.
Yes, correct. It's basically we used to call them losers.
I called them for most of high school.
What did you call them?
Gordon. I called them hello.
What?
to my fellow brethren. Yes, remember in high school where Oak started getting laid and like, because it was like, for most people, it's kind of towards the end of high school. And there were those people who were kind of got it in the neck. And there were those people who got it in really early or they were lying. Like, what a relief it was to get laid and for it not to go appallingly badly.
Yeah, you were so scared of being left behind and becoming one of these guys.
Yeah, like just so that you have a story as well.
Fourth or fifth time sex, you realize like, oh wait, like I get what the fuss has been all about. Like this is going somewhere. Yeah. It's all just fear and disappointment and pressure and fucking nerves and fear.
Well, these incels are a real problem because they actually act out on these things. So this guy was accused of fatally stabbing a woman in February, and they said that the 2018 attack in Toronto that killed 10 was also allegedly inspired by incel behavior. But the accused in that case was not charged with terrorism. Now, on Tuesday, Toronto Police and Royal Canadian Mounted Police issued a joint press conference announcing the terrorism charges. The suspect, who cannot be named because he's a minor, has already been charged with first-degree murder and attempted murder shortly after the incident, which took place at an exotic massage parlor.
Industry's in trouble, and now this.
Mm. Yeah,
waited for another week, pardon. I'm dedicated. That one was one of those curlers where you go far away from the goalpost and curl back in. And when those come off, it's mega satisfying. So it's worth the risk.
So those incel message boards, like early internet, were wild. I don't know if you've ever seen articles on those. Like,
no, tell me about them.
Well, you remember the internet before wasn't like, oh, you just get
like
onto
IRC, it. Like chat rooms.
No, like at the very dawn of the internet, it was message board based.
Yeah.
And that was
okay. IRC incel chats. Yeah, I remember those.
I'll try to find the article and see
if you used it. Perch or merge? Those were the two things.
Guys, I just want to restart this. I'm going to come back and bring you guys back on board here because I'm hearing such a delay on all of you. It's driving me crazy. So let me just restart that and maybe we can get a better connection here. It's driving me mad. Let me see if I can do this. Then we can move on. Okay, hello.
Are we leaving the call?
No, I'm here. Hello, I'm back.
Ah, there's GT.
All right, cool. I just wanted to see if I could get you guys back on here. All right, so those are the main stories this morning. These, I was talking about IRC chat lines and incels, but do you think these guys are terrorists or they're just unhappy, miserable guys? And they've always been in society, right? It's online just lets us see them.
I mean, there's always going to be frustrated dudes. Like, there's always going to be, when I say there's always going to be, like, hopefully not, but there always has been, like, dickheads of all different shapes and sizes in all different sort of, you've got guys that do well with women who then become very entitled about doing well with women. You've got guys who are like, have no self-confidence and then as a result of that don't do well with women, but then thinks it's like some like thing that's owed to them. There's all these different mindsets around it, but like guys and women as well, people who want to be having more better sex than what they're having is a normal part of society and will probably always be a thing. It's when guys get like violent or entitled or just, I know the type of people you're talking about, but when you talk about like incel message boards, are these O's like out there proudly waving a flag? Like, hey, we're incels. Come to our incel message board and we'll talk about incel day-to-day life. or do they call themselves something else? Because how do you have like a, I can't get laid, it's driving me fucking crazy.
We wouldn't know. Like if these guys were, they could be doing this in a game, right? They could be using a game as a chat board as well. And a game could be a closed network of people. So you're not going to stop this by shutting down message boards, you idiots. This is behavior that's been going on for millennia. Young men who are not getting the sex, as Gord rightly points out, that they want, and better sex, more of it. Those guys have always been around. Now, don't pretend that just because the internet is here, there are these young men suddenly who are incels, and we've got a word for them. They were around. Yeah. They were around before.
There's a certain way that it's indicative to just how sad their lives are. And it sort of fits into this book that I'm just starting to read as well. But the whole point is, and I'm no psychologist, but there's something about when someone is on a destructive path, when they want to indirectly start showing other people. So let me make a different example to what we're talking about. There's something to the way
I don't know what you're talking about so far.
Okay,
so
I'm trying to tie it all together. So it's one thing to want to self-harm, but it's another to go into a public space and, you know, stab yourself there for other people to see. In a subliminal way, you're trying to get attention and show other people how sad your life is. So it's not everyone is having great sex and swinging off the chandeliers, but it's another when you give yourself this label and you want to go online with it.
Okay.
On a weird level.
That's another thing I was trying to ask here is like, when Umbi just now was talking about the early internet chat boards for these guys and how out of hand they were, I'm like, how did you find an incel support group? Do they have like a cool name for themselves?
A lot of these guys do it. And even when you see these weird violent acts, when they go out and they kill people, they'll often record like a monologue saying, you know what, and this is not my fault because these girls don't want to.
Guys, I mean, like Jack the Ripper. Wasn't he he might have been some kind of incel. We know he was a serial killer. We don't know what was motivating him. Maybe he had a problem with his dick. You don't know.
What was the initial point, though? Was that something in Canada they found another one of these guys or something?
They've charged this guy in Canada with terrorism. And it turns out he's just he's a teenage guy. So he's a minor. He went to erotic massage parlor because he needs to get his rocks off because obviously he's not scoring with girls because he's a loser. And
I mean, that's the one. There may be God because we have the ability to sort that out for ourselves. Yeah. I mean, what teenagers are equipped for this?
There is no guy in the world, no guy, even the captain of the rugby team who has all the best looking girls running after him at high school. Even he has a moment of like, wow, I hope I can get that girl. There's always one girl that he can't get that, no matter who you are as a guy. That is something that is going on in the back of your brain the whole time.
I think it's with both. I think it's with, and I almost said both genders. I think it's across the board with genders, I think. But I think it's men that have the ability to suddenly become like, I keep picturing the comic book guy from The Simpsons. Like that angry, pissed off, frustrated, entitled, like it isn't fair, it isn't right. I know that kind of energy, that like, I deserve it, but I'm not getting it kind of energy is where it becomes very harmful.
But
I think like
public with it,
having more sex / better sex / more better sex than what I'm getting lately is a pretty common human frustration, no matter who you are. It's not just guys, but I do know that exact energy you're referring to where guys become like horrible and sticky and aggro about it.
Yeah, and Sia's right. It's when you act it out in public that it becomes a problem. But it's almost, it's festering when you're not acting it out in public. A lot of these guys have got such severe problems psychologically that they're sitting at home and they're stewing in it. And that makes them, those are the vicious people on the internet, frankly. A lot of them. A lot of those people are the ones acting out because their own life's so miserable that they take it out on
everyone's a bunch of dickheads.
Yeah. You should write that in your next children's book. Don't be an incel. It's very bad for
Look at Jeff. Look at Dave. Neither of them know how to behave. Kick him in the face. Kick him in the throat. Grab him by the nuts and tear out his scrote. Dave's a dick. Steve's a dick. Can you tell me quickly, quick, which of these two total dicks should get punched in the nuts today? This is Dave. Dave's a cock. Also a cock.
Thank you, Gord. I don't know if I'm going to give my nephew that just yet.
Please, please write that book. Make
He's
it a
dickhead. We're all a bunch of kids.
Yeah, everyone is a dickhead. And write that book with like an adult audience in mind, but in children's language.
I've got a plan for that sort of thing for my more adult-orientated children's language stories. But everyone's a dickhead will actually be on the major label for kids because I think it's important that kids know.
Yeah.
Yeah, dick too. Are you standing in the way and no one can get past? Maybe it's time to look around and move your fucking ass. You're in the shops. Don't be in the way. Don't be mean to people because they're a different color than you or gay. But if you stop at the bottom of an escalator and a fat guy runs you over, just know that he did it fucking very well aware of what he was doing and stone cold, cold-blooded sober. You
oh,
shit.
Goodness.
Bulelo, you said that you had a call about like comparing girlfriends with other men.
Oh, yeah.
From a friend of yours. What happened there?
So he gave me a call, and I've always told him this because he's always been like this, is he always looks at other people's girlfriends and wants to compare them, you know. She's good enough to keep around for him, but everyone else's girlfriend's always better looking. They're always more ambitious. And now his girlfriend's put on a bit of weight during lockdown together, and Instagram is the enemy. So he saw like another friend's girlfriend who's like, she looks insane.
Yeah.
So, but he's on the verge of
like
breaking down.
Fighting the windowsill because of isolation, or she looks insane. Like, damn, she's so fine, is.
Yeah, no, she's unbelievably
good. These sound like incredibly shallow people, and they all deserve to be having the sandy wanks that the incels are having that's not getting them by.
Oh, sandy wanks.
Yeah. But there's a bit of sand, and there's just nothing like six showers. Anything to get rid of the little bit of sand that's ruining the sandy wank.
Yeah, this guy sounds like he could just be a beta version of an incel.
Yeah, they sound like the bigger dicks. They basically phone each other and try and see who could be a bigger puss today by saying,
"No,
like,
that's really absolutely ridiculous."
Their girlfriends, no. Like, so, the one is upset that the other one's girlfriend has not gained weight, but his has.
Why does everyone think their wife is the most beautiful wife in the world?
No,
they are
not. It's like just if you're unhappy,
he's just real about it.
Yeah, but if you're unhappy with the girl you're with, for God's sake, don't complain about her. Either break up with her or have the conversation with her. But to go online and like compare her to other girls, like what? Either you aren't deserving of a better girlfriend because you're not so great yourself, or because you're looking at other girls and you're more interested in them than you are in your current girlfriend, maybe you need to level with yourself and break up with her.
I guarantee you, there are 75% of married men out there who would disagree with you. They see someone else's wife and they're like, I'm two kids in now.
I mean, I'm sure people sit and discuss, you know, they commiserate the difficulties of married life. And,
that's
you know,
what golf, that's what golf exists for.
Kind of like sitting and talking about like how unsatisfied you are with your guys that get together and compare girlfriends sounds very different philosophically than people who just shoot the shit about their day-to-day life. Same as women who have quote-unquote Tupperware parties that have never seen a fucking Tupperware anything. Once you've checked to check, all of her friends know what your willy looks like. That's just the facts of life.
Can
everyone
I ask you something? Serious question. I don't own any Tupperware. Do I have to go to one of these Tupperware parties to get some? Because I made some food the other night and I didn't know how to store it.
You will get some if you go to the right Tupperware party, but not in the way that you're thinking. Tupperware can be bought directly from a company called Tupperware, whereas there's a whole lot of generic brands that can be sold in supermarkets. However, if you go to an actual Tupperware party or a book club, you have to actually check first if it's one of those that with Tupperware.
Someone said to me, "Oh, well, if you have excess food after you've made a meal, then you could put it in a Tupperware." And I said, I don't know how to get those because I don't have any. And it's a big problem in my life.
And it's just beware, if you go to a Tupperware party, you enter the premises and they ask you to leave your keys, you get your behind out of there.
Oh, right. So if you
so let me tell you the secret of Tupperware.
Yeah.
Either in the bar.
High end.
Yeah.
And it lasts forever. Don't go and get it at your regular store.
Yeah, but
otherwise you're buying it again a year later.
Umbi spins a coin, and as it flitters around in the air, let us be aware of the fact that there are two sides. Makes a strong point about how it's a long-term investment, get the better Tupperware. However, if you're going to pay for the very expensive Tupperware.
We're talking about this.
No, the Tupperwares go missing in two. They don't go missing in whole units. So you end up with bottoms and lids, right? That's like one of those situations where you accidentally put the key in the bowl, not knowing that that was a sign that you were going to become either a bottom or a lid. But if you buy the 1,000 rand clicker Tupperwares from Tupperware, and then 6 months later you don't have the lids for any of them, you've overinvested. There's like a wear and tear lifespan, and then Umbi's point becomes very relevant. But then there's also like these things just get raptured during their lifetimes.
So in other words, I've opened up a hornet's nest here of Tupperware advice that I was not prepared for. I'm actually taking notes as we speak.
You want middle market Tupperware. You don't want the cheap shitty stuff because the lids pop off those. They're flimsy. They go discolored after a while. AIDS or whatever in the chemicals. But if you buy like the double AIDS vacuum lock, like, it's 1,000 rand for a set, and it comes in four non-handy sizes.
Okay.
You don't want to buy like the rich person Tupperware, because that's when God laughs and goes, a nice lid, bro. You see that lid that no other lid can fit, because it needs to be like, fastened with five clicks and a fucking Heimlich maneuver. Good luck finding something to use that for. That's going to be your cling wrap salad bowl from now on, bitch. That 400 rand salad bowl. It's flat and wide.
Okay, so I'm by the middle of the range. That's good advice. All right. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mbulelo. Gord makes a good point. I'm going to have to go with his advice.
I don't know.
Conservative.
So you'll be buying it again. I've made this mistake, and as a bachelor,
here we
I understand
are.
How
four men, it. And we're talking about Tupperware. Sia, do you have any contribution to make on the Tupperware front?
So far, no lies detected on what Gord has said. Oh, and then, Gareth, once you've made the investment, though, you do have to commit to only giving people who want to carry some food back home, should they come to visit you. You want to give them like ice cream containers.
Oh, right.
Not anyone to leave with your good Tupperware.
Yeah, it's not coming back. Also,
never.
Workplaces. So that's another thing. Like,
it's never coming back.
You want to cripple yourself. It's like people who cripple themselves with crockery so nice that they can never ever use it. Like, do you really want to cripple yourself? I don't give a fuck about these two Tupperwares. I don't care about them. They're not my friends. I'll leave them behind at an office, and then I'll never go back and fetch them again. But if
you're literally giving us a show and tell right now, God.
I'm conservatively estimating that one in every four things in this fucking god awful drawer of entropy has got a partner, or even ever did have a partner. These are lone Ronins in the world that have never
shame.
Yeah, you have a lot of those.
Oh yeah, and I've got plastic throwing away guilt, so I end up with all the shit that can never be reused, because maybe one day, instead of being in a landfill, I'll trip, fall, and land on the fucking lid.
Gord has got a hell of a selection of Tupperware there. It's incredible. And Gord, how many of those have the complete lid and bottom?
Maybe one in five. This is a classic, 1980s stalwart, the Addis Grey Top. this is another example. This is another example of how you can spend all that fancy money you want in investments. Umbi, the lids are going to disappear. They're going to get mismatched. You're going to wonder how lids from a different fucking brand of Tupperware ended up in your cupboard when you've had never to allow anything into the house that wasn't your own specs. But they'll wait long enough, and an Addis Grey Top that you never bought will materialize in your fucking Tupperware cupboard.
So that Addis Grey Top, it looks like the sides are discolored, and there's like a label. What is that?
It's had casseroles, it's had bolognese's. I mean, in the apocalypse, after we eat Friesland, we can probably each just break a piece of this off and chew it for the mineral.
Friesland, by the way, is the rabbit that I have in my garden. Gord, I checked on Friesland the other day. He's still hopping around beautifully. He's having a good time.
A little hop slow. He's conserving calories.
All right. We want to do that. Listen, I had no idea when I woke up this morning that we would have a detailed and in-depth conversation around Tupperware. But look at this.
I haven't slept, and I also smoked quite a lot of weed last night. That's sorry, guys. Oh. I may be a little incoherent, but I mean well.
You're allowed.
You know, it's oscillation time, and Oaks are technically unemployed.
Oscillation.
I will tell you, though, that I've been watching some fucking garbage television, and like this whole oversaturation of choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as, you know, when you first got – I remember when DSTV started out, when DSTV was newly a thing, and then a couple of your friends, early adopters, got it, and you went and visited them just to see it, and you pretended to be fucking friends with Bruce Hairbottle, even though you didn't like the Oak because he had DSTV. And it was like, and then you started getting it in your own homes and realized that you watched maybe like four new things that you weren't used to having, and the rest was just millions of channels with nothing on. Last Dance, that was utterly outstanding. Have you watched that?
Someone told me to watch that. Someone actually told
me. Next level brilliant television. Yeah, because it's just such amazing subject matter.
Okay, hold on. Because a friend of mine sent me a recommendation for this Last Dance last night, but I need to know what I'm in for. So give me the gist.
Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player of all time. Very few people will disagree. And one of the greatest dynasty teams of all times were the 90s Chicago Bulls that were built around him.
All right.
And they won three titles. Then he retired for a year and a half, give or take. And then he came back and they won two more titles. And with the whole team already sort of scheduled to be disassembled and having reached its sell-by date, so to speak, they kind of didn't have any choice but to let this – the management didn't have a choice but to let this core of teams and their coaches that have won two in a row and can become a team that's done three in a row twice, but to have this last season to, you know, have another go, and then they're breaking up the band. And so Mike Jordan and the Bulls allowed like unprecedented videography access to film for a documentary, which they've subsequently sat on for the next 2.5 decades. It's, I think, 10 episodes, and each one sort of focuses on the tale of that last season, the tale of how they came to be the Chicago Bulls as a unit, and then a different player each episode, all focusing on Michael Jordan and his insane mindset. It is just fucking unbelievable.
Do you have to be a sports fan or a basketball fan to watch this?
I think just a fan of fascinating individuals, like amazing sort of once in a century stories. Just his relentless focus on success and winning was like almost, on the one hand, very endearing, and on the other hand, almost like a bit not, you know, a bit like maybe you could have seen someone about it.
All right, listen, we've got to get to a break before the second hour of the show. Gord's going to stick around. We've got Joe Camino coming on a little later. And then by then, Gord will need to sleep because he
must be serious about his money at the moment.
Can you imagine Joe? I mean, you've met Joe a couple of times, right?
On a sunshiny day when it's a light breeze that smells like freshly minted money and you've got different lottery winning tickets in each pocket of your pants, Joe Camino is fucking serious about money. Now we're in the actual, you know, Joe's been warning people his entire life that this was coming. And now he doesn't know whether to be sad that he was right. Right, and or thrilled that finally people, fuck, you should have listened to me. I was on Gareth Cliff twice a year telling you, Oaks, the day is fucking coming.
Well, he's going to be here. He's going to say, I told you so. That's what Joe's in to do this morning. So we'll speak to him a little later on. All right, lots of things to get to. Let's get your day off to a good start. It is Wednesday, the 20th of May. It's just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.